You're listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Glory be to the earth, the wind, the sun and the rain, to animals and children, to our sacred flame which calls us together as one. Welcome to today's service, a special welcome to our youngest Unitarians who were with us for just the first part of the service, before pursuing their education with Catherine today, touching on beginnings and endings, an exploration of the circle of life. Welcome to our regulars. I don't think we've got any visitors today, have we? No, we're all this is a space of thoughtfulness and kindness on a Sunday. It doesn't matter how old you are, what your core beliefs are, or how you identify your spirituality, sexuality, gender preference, whatever. We're not here to sign up to the same team or affirm the same beliefs, but to support each other in following our own path. Any path that helps us create stronger communities and a better world. A world in which we embrace diversity, justice, democracy, and the interdependence of all living things. Unitarians have been meeting on Kaurna and Peramank lands for almost as long as the state of South Australia has existed. We recognise the importance of Indigenous culture and language and the authority of First Nations people in expressing and sharing their care for country for the benefit of us all. Our previous minister introduced an annual service at the beginning of each year called the Blessing of the Book Bags. It's become our way of conveying to our Unitarian children our wishes for a happy and productive year with a special focus on school. This year, Chris, being new, used the time to interview each child to get a snapshot of their attitude and interests. He then referred to the invisible backpacks we all carry, hurts, disappointments, worries, as well as dreams and hopes, and encourage the children to let go of the worries, the hurts and the disappointments, and to hang on to the hopes and dreams. He assured them, you all have in you the strength, courage and intelligence you need to get through this year and achieve what you want to achieve, whether it's in school classes or in sport or doing kind things for other people. He also assured them they were loved by everyone in the room as well as by their own families. Once they'd gone to Sunday Club, Chris reflected on how easy it is to see what stage of development a child is at. Year 3 going on to year 4, starting kindergarten, starting high school. Whereas for us, our degree of spiritual development is not so easily discerned. Nor do we have a set curriculum to follow, prescribed reading. There's no compulsion to attend to our spiritual development, but if we do, even our teachers are not easily identified. They may not have qualifications, a title. We may not even recognise their role, except in hindsight. Our bars are set quite high. If you consider the seven principles, for example, we agree to promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large, the goal of world community with peace, liberty and justice for all, and respect for the interdependent web of existence of which we're all part. And that was a later addition, I think. These principles are very high-minded, but oddly remote, and not necessarily spiritual, as opposed to a set of jolly fine secular values any liberal thinker would generally agree with. Miranda read a more impassioned statement of belief last year from USA professor and Unitarian Universalists from Rochester, New York, Michael Scott. I'll read it. "We believe that life is holy. It's a priceless, unearned gift of grace and one that imposes great obligations on us. If you want to know what something's worth, don't try and measure it in dollars. Rather, measure it in terms of things that enhance the precious gift of life, in justice, passion, happiness, beauty, knowledge, and understanding. We're concerned first and foremost with this world, appreciating it deeply and making it as beautiful as possible. We also believe in the unity of existence. We deny any separation or conflict between science and religion, or between the sacred and secular. We believe every person has deep inherent worth. Poor people matter as much as rich people, gay as much as straight. Ugandans matter as much as Americans, Muslims as much as Christians. Now, we've always placed emphasis, strong emphasis, on working for social justice. We also believe nature matters. The world isn't ours to exploit, but rather to cherish and share. We are guests here. Our needs do not automatically trump those of polar bears or redwoods or slime mold. Most important of all, we must not use the world up. It's all we'll ever have, and it has to last forever. Finally, we believe we're called to act on our convictions forcefully, but with humility and with respect for those who disagree, because we don't know all the answers, and we can't be absolutely sure of the answers we think we know. Our job is to get better over time and to help the whole world do likewise." Now, that's a personal statement with a lot more heart in it than our seven principles, and you can't interchange them, it's a different thing. We don't all have beliefs we must adhere to or understand in the same way. Chris had reservations about slime mold and announced a battle of the species that was raging in his bathroom. I didn't like to picture it, but he wasn't siding with the mold. Now, personally, I love slime mold, not the sort that grows in bathrooms, but I remember slime mold popping up all over Mum's garden once at Wistow and being entirely gone in a week. It gave all her pelargoniums and geraniums and other plantings a ghostly picture book appearance. So let's turn away from the more passionate expressions of belief to our more blandly worded seven principles. I have difficulty with the concept of deep inherent worth, not generally, but with people who have seemingly managed to discard theirs and forcefully work towards stripping deep inherent worth away from others. I have in mind people like Putin or Hitler, politicians who use hatred and contempt of others to promote and increase their own power. The point is, our churches are places of freedom of pulpit and pew. We can safely debate our points of view. And the point of view I would like to air today has to do with spiritual growth and the seven principles. I don't think the principles give us a guide to spiritual growth. They give us splendid goals, but not the path or the tools to get there. It's possible to live like a talking animal, seeking pleasure, satisfaction, comfort, avoiding pain and discomfort, and not considering sacrifice or self-discipline. Now, that approach won't let you embrace our principles, raise kids or grow relationships or even enhance your advancement in the workplace. Life is not laid out for us like a beautiful table setting. As much as we may try and manufacture for ourselves a life of ease and comfort, the hard stuff intrudes. Grief and loss. We lose things. People we care for move on from our lives. Or we move on. We may lose a child to death, disease, drug addiction, to a toxic relationship or to a cult. The upsets we experience can lead us to seek a place or a path to peace and forgiveness. To achieve these things, we may need to learn to meditate, to pray, to listen to others, to let go, to be generous, to forgive. These ideas, I think, are not made explicit or raised to worth in our seven principles. There is a move in America to redraft the Unitarian Universalist covenants, its agreements. Mary forwarded them to me in an email from people who oppose or at least wary about those changes, and I read it and thought, oh, that's fair enough. I like that point, and so on. Now, we're not bound by what the UUA does. After all, we don't really have a universalist tradition here. We're more bread and butter Unitarians. Do move a bit with the times. At Shady Grove, the organising committee removed the old Unitarian Christian Church sign, and the sign now just reads Unitarian Church. And the label on our church isn't Unitarian Meeting House, it's Unitarian House. These gestures are not merely surface alterations, but they're indicative of a shift in sensibility. So let me share with you how the thinking of those who want to move on from the seven principles are formulating their ideas. I'll read you some draft material. Love is the power that holds us together and is at the centre of our shared values. We are accountable to one another for doing the work of living our shared values through spiritual discipline of love. Inseparable from one another, these shared values are interdependence. We honour the interdependent web of all existence. We agree to cherish Earth and all beings by creating and nurturing relationships of care and respect. With humility and reverence, we acknowledge our place in the great web of life, and we work to repair harm and damaged relationships. Pluralism. We celebrate that we're all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We agree to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. Justice. We work to be diverse, multicultural, beloved communities where all thrive. We covenant to dismantle racism and all forms of systemic oppression. We support the use of inclusive democratic processes to make decisions. Transformation. We adapt to the changing world. We agree to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian Universalist heritages. Never complete and never perfect. Generosity. We cultivate a spirit of gratitude and hope. We agree to freely and compassionately share our faith, presence, and resources. Our generosity connects us to one another in relationships of interdependence and mutuality. And finally, equity. We declare that every person has the right to flourish with dignity and worthiness. A little change there. We agree to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities. So you see, the seven principles are embedded in these values, but the framework is one of spiritual virtues rather than secular values. Stephanie Dowrick and many other writers refer to these virtues collectively as the humane virtues. Which formulation or description you prefer depends on your own experience and values, but I thought it worthy to bring to your attention. We look to growth and to the next generation, and I think our messages are mixed. Here in Norwood, we walk into a space with Christian iconography in the windows, pipe organ, and a banner at the front proclaiming the seven principles in secular terms. And if you reach for the pamphlets in the foyer, the references are largely American. Are they early South Australian Unitarians? One visitor asked Chris while viewing photographs of Ralph Waldo Emerson, Clara Barton and Whitney Young. And the pamphlet is called We Are Unitarian Universalists. Now, photos of Catherine Spence, John Dowie and George Hale or Crawford Woods would not be misleading in that way. And the term universalism is also problematic in that it's not really part of our heritage. Unitarians and Universalists combined in the 1960s in America after having coexisted for well over 100 years and often sharing ministers. In the nearly 30 years that I've attended this church, Universalism has rarely been referred to, and the only comment that's ever made to me in that time was a word of criticism for us neglecting that side of our heritage. Universalism was the belief that all humankind will eventually be saved. Clearly, this relates to Christian theology. Christian universalism would insist Christ's atonement did atone for everyone's sins, not just for the chosen few, a la the wackier cults and some fundamentalist Christian churches. A more mainstream idea is that the atonement works for all those who truly repent. But that's out of our arena, really. I'm sure you all know a few damned Unitarians, but do you know any saved ones? The UU churches in America are not into this personal salvation either, and probably the other meaning of universalism holds sway in modern times, that is, loyalty and concern for others without regard to national and other allegiances, a tendency towards universalism and inclusion. So to wrap up, my view is that universalism is unobjectionable, but just not relevant to our church here, either in terms of history or theology. Now, apart from updating the website, our new minister is anxious that we present ourselves as Australian Unitarians rather than as an extension of the American Unitarian Universalists. So a project has begun to produce our own introductory pamphlets for the foyer. It's in very early stages. At our last congregational brainstorming, followed by shared lunch, when we considered our church moving into the future, no one mentioned reworking or replacing the seven principles. A discussion on the subject is unlikely to occur in the short term, but I bring it to your attention because the discussion has started elsewhere because it interested me. I've heard the principles referred to as the seven banalities and dismissed as truisms that don't particularly inspire anyone to come to church as opposed to joining an existing action group like ASRC, that's the Refugee Lot, or Extinction Rebellion, or a Bush Care group. Now, I've been a fan of the humane values since the 90s when I first read Stephanie Darick. She's an interfaith minister in Sydney and she wrote Forgiveness and Other Acts of Love, Choosing Happiness, Life and Soul Essentials, Intimacy and Solitude. You might remember those book titles. She's a post-Christian writer. She became Catholic aged 9 when her father remarried after the loss of her mother, and she was for many years a member of the Society of Friends, Quaker. And she's now an interfaith minister. And I guess that's why I think we could begin to think about replacing our seven principles with another key document that's in the spirit of those principles, but which includes the notion of spiritual growth. Why bother? Well, when people are seeking a church that may support them in their beliefs and they ask, what do Unitarians believe? What do they stand for? I don't think handing a list of the seven principles or elaborating on them is inviting. The seventh principle was added in 1985, and that was the one about the interdependent web of existence, and that's the green principle, isn't it? People who like the principles are suggesting an eighth. The eighth principle affirms and promotes journeying towards spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. Well, adding more and more to reflect current concerns or emphases is unwieldy. I think it's better to have a fresh look.
But away from the underpinnings and theory and into current practice, what is happening now?
We are particularly interested in nurturing our young and facilitating projects that involve them. We have several young people preparing for coming of age ceremonies later this year. You may recall a few years back now when David and Santwali, together with John Baxter, Iran, and David Freesmith, rode their bikes from Shady Grove to Norwood one wet Sunday morning and presented us with a bird box, I think. And things up there in Shady Grove. Now, the teens coming through now are not all keen cyclists, and I gather the girls in particular are interested in the Pioneer Women's Trail. Chris is conferring with David Freesmith over the quests or challenges to be performed by our youngsters and the form of the ceremony here at church. Our website is being recreated so we can keep it updated easily, and the revision of the American pamphlets in the foyer has begun. So in conclusion, let's raise a figurative glass for a happy, productive 2023 as we emerge from the stultifying effects of the wretched pandemic. Be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere, its temple all space, its shrine the good heart, its creed all truth, its ritual works of love. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitarianSA.org.au.